NASA says this time is the charm. After delays, the first commercial space flight is set to launch this week. A capsule built by the company SpaceX is taking off from Cape Canaveral and heading to the International Space Station. If successful, it will be a milestone in NASA's plan to replace its space shuttle program with commercial carriers. Deputy Administrator Lori Garver joins us now. Good morning, Ms. Garver.
Good morning, Emily.
So tell us just briefly, what is going to happen on Saturday?
Well, this is going to be a launch from Cape Canaveral of a rocket called the Falcon 9 with a capsule on top called Dragon that goes to dock with the International Space Station. So the first time a commercial company is leading an effort that has been government-led, opening up a new era for our space program.
Now, there's not going to be anybody aboard that thing, right?
That is correct. The Dragon capsule, while capable of carrying people, that is their longer-term plan, this is to bring us supplies, food, water to the space station. It is something that we do need since the retirement of the space shuttle. This has been our plan for replacing the space shuttle that was so much larger and built the space station by carrying the modules. This is much smaller, focused effort. It allows us to reduce the cost of space transportation using the commercial sector, who can then open new markets, reducing the cost so that we can have a lot more jobs here in the United States and win back some of those jobs that have gone overseas.
So it's clear you have a lot riding on this. And as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, this launch has been delayed a couple of times now. What has happened now to make you think that actually Saturday it's going to work?
Well, we've been working very closely with SpaceX, who is the industry partner on this mission, and they have what we typically do for a countdown, look at, review all of the flight readiness activities. And the last couple times we came to do this within the last few months, we found specific software testing that needed to continue to be done, and now we're through with that. I talked to the folks last night. They say they are ready. Of course, as with any rocket launch and space shuttle, we have weather issues, we have the day of issues, but we feel, as far as the rocket goes, we're ready. The space station is ready. Our astronauts in space have been trained, and we're very excited to have the first private American company send a spacecraft to the space station.
Now, the capsule on top, you said, is SpaceX's. What about the engines, the thrusters that get this thing into space? Was that NASA technology, or is that also SpaceX?
Well, what is truly amazing about this is it is a SpaceX rocket as well. The Falcon 9 is a rocket with Merlin engines developed by a private company. So that just shows you how robust this activity is, that there are markets for launching satellites, defense payloads, and NASA science payloads in addition to the space station, astronauts, and cargo. And that is what has allowed this company, SpaceX, headed by Elon Musk, to invest in an entire rocket system, with the Dragon being the test for us with this capsule. Now, the Falcon rocket has flown before, and the Dragon capsule even flew once before and was returned in the ocean, but not yet docking with space station. That's the first on this flight.
We are speaking with Lori B. Garver, the Deputy Administrator of NASA. Now, a lot of people lost their jobs, a lot of engineering talent from the space shuttle program, and still, as far as we know, haven't been placed in industry. Do you think that the SpaceX venture and ventures like it can absorb those people that used to be NASA?
The space shuttle program carried us for 30 years, and we had a dedicated workforce. We had announced, President Bush announced in 2003, we would be retiring the space shuttle. Obama extended it for two flights in at least a year so people could transition. The whole idea of having a commercial company be able to launch this is to grow markets and increase our U.S. high-paying jobs in this area. So, yes, ultimately, what we believe is the key to this, as with all things, the government leads the way and the technology drives and pushes farther. As NASA is going farther, private industry takes us over, and then that allows us to fly more often and win back market share and hire not only those people back but create new jobs in an industry that doesn't just count on the government. So right now, you know, the space shuttle, government, NASA was the only customer. we're just going to be buying this by the drink, like we have to do now with Russians. So we are going to have a U.S. company, and hopefully two, because we have a competition. There are two companies vying right now for the cargo delivery and four for crew delivery to space station, and that is ultimately going to create more jobs.
This is part of your Commercial Orbital Transportation Services program, big long title. But tell us briefly how you're working through that with these companies and what sort of expertise you're giving them, or how people on the ground are interacting.
Yes, the acronym for that is COTS, and we do have two competitors for COTS awarded several years ago, Orbital Sciences in Virginia and SpaceX from California. And this is, while it is led by industry, it is a very, very strong partnership with NASA. So for years, NASA had cost-plus contracts with our industry, and we really drove the design of the vehicles. These are Space Act agreements where industry is driving the design. We've been launching people and things to space for 50 years, so it's time we did trust our industry to be able to lead the way, while NASA, with our experience, is helping them look at and set requirements and inspect their vehicles to make sure we're comfortable launching with them. But they are truly leading the way, and that's an exciting and important evolution. Of course, it's already happened in things like satellites. Space is very much led by the private sector in so many ways.
So how long do you think it will be before one of them can put a person on the International Space Shuttle?
We are planning for that next round of a competition yet this summer, and while we have not selected, we have said two or more competitors so that we can have a competition, we believe it can be in 3 to 5 years. Each of those companies has said within 3 to 5 years they can be transporting our astronauts to the station from the U.S. and end our outsourcing to the Russians. It's a very, very exciting time.
And does any of this translate over to some of the other NASA programs, such as the probes and the telescopes and the web that's being built and that kind of thing? Could those also go aboard the Merlin 9 that is coming from a company like SpaceX?
Of course. That's one of the wonderful things about this program. We are now spending a third of our wonderful science missions on the space transportation, on the rocket. And so driving down the cost of the rocket is the key underpinning to this initiative, not just for astronauts for station, but also for those science missions. We can do more science if we aren't paying a third of the mission for the ride. You know, it's really about the science. And then similar to our friends at the Department of Defense, they launch so many critical satellites, keeping our servicemen and women in harm's way overseas safe. They can launch those with a competitive rocket system, much cheaper, and focus more on the force that we need to protect this country. And then again, winning back commercial launch share that we lost. In the 90s, we had about 80% of the market. We didn't launch any commercial satellites last year because we don't have this competitive business.